Good afternoon, students, and you are welcome to e-learning of Our Lady of Grace Senior High School. This afternoon, we are going to treat another topic, the United Nations Security Council. The last time we met, we discussed the United Nations General Assembly, its composition, its functions, and then its limitations. So today we are moving on to discuss another important organ of the United Nations, that is the Security Council. The Security Council of the UN is made up of 15 members. This includes 5 veto-wielding permanent members, and they are China, Russia, France, United Kingdom, and the United States. Apart from the 5 permanent members, there are also 10 non-permanent members who are elected by the General Assembly for a 2-year term, and the election is based on geographical regions. So if I said we have 5 permanent members, what it means is that the countries that I mentioned, that is China, Russia, France, UK, and US, they are the 5 permanent members, meaning they are constant members of the organization. They are not changed. So they are always there, no matter the situation. So these 5 members are constant, unlike the 10 permanent members who are elected in every 2 years. But the 5 permanent members are always constant. They are always there, and they are unchangeable. That's why I said they are called 5 permanent members. And they have what you call veto power. The veto power means that it is the power given to these 5 countries. In the stand that if there is any decision ongoing at the Security Council level, if any one of them vote against that decision, then that decision can never hold. So the council can only arrive at a decision when all the 5 permanent members are in favor of that decision. If even one of them vote against that decision, then they need to withdraw that decision. That's why we are saying they have veto powers. So the 5 permanent members, the veto power means that a proposal or decision will be rejected when any of the 5 permanent members votes against it. So any vote from the 5 permanent members that goes against a decision taken at the council level, that decision must be withdrawn. The council is also having a president, and the presidency of this council rotates monthly in alphabetical order of the council member nations' names in English, meaning every month there will be a change in the presidency of the council. And as I said earlier on, it is rotated monthly in alphabetical order. So the members who are present, or the countries who are members of the Security Council, their names will determine when and how they will become the president of the Security Council. So it rotates monthly among its members alphabetical order. So that is what we call the presidency of the Security Council. Now, let's move on to discuss the importance of the veto power of the 5 permanent members. Why should some countries wield veto power? Why should only 5 countries be given such power? So what is the important? What is the merit of giving such veto powers to some of the members of the Security Council? One, the veto power is a symbol of greatness of the superpowers within the United Nations. We are saying that it's a symbol of greatness of the superpowers of the United Nations. So what it means is that when these countries are given the veto power, it makes them great, and it is a symbol that makes them very great among all the other members of the organization. So when a country is a permanent member, that country will be having the veto power, and that veto power given them will enable them to bring or to decide on any crucial decision concerning the world security and peace. So it is very important for them to have the veto power. The veto power clearly shows how active and useful the permanent members are in the United Nations organization. It is also actually a status symbol that indicates the importance, position, or the greatness of the superpowers within the United Nations. So these five permanent members are very powerful, and this power given to them makes them great among other members of the organization. Point two, there is a source of motivation to the superpowers to show more financial commitment to the United Nations. The veto power is a morale booster. That's what I'll put it. It is a morale booster which tend to encourage the permanent members of the Security Council to contribute enough financial resources for the smooth running of the United Nations. So if that power is with them, it will encourage them, it will motivate them so that they will bring out more money, more financial resources that will enable the organization to run smoothly, because financial resources will help the organization to stand firm. Also, this is simple because with the existence of the veto power, the permanent members feel honored and secured within the organization. So whenever they wield such veto power, it makes them feel they are secured, and it is an honor to them. So they always commit to assist the organization when it comes to financial support. So when such powers are given to them, then it will motivate them to bring more money, more financial support to enable the organization to operate smoothly. Point three, it prevents the Security Council from undertaking unpleasant tasks. We are saying it prevents the Security Council from undertaking unpleasant tasks. This veto power is a check on the approval of unpopular policies within the United Nations. In the absence of the veto power, any member of the Council can arrive at any decision that will not benefit the entire UN. But with the existence of the veto power given to some members of the organization, it will help the Council from arriving at decisions that will not benefit the United Nations. So if there's any decision that will not benefit the United Nations, then a member will vote against it, and then it will be withdrawn. Also, the use of the veto power always prevents the Skills Council from endorsing unfavorable decisions in the organization. So, if there's anything that will not favor, that will not help the smooth operating of the organization, the veto power will prevent the council from taking that decision. This is because any of the permanent members has the power to veto decisions that have the tendency to undermine the operation of the organization. So due to the veto power given to them, then it will prevent them from arriving at a decision that will not favor the organization. Point four, the veto power help in maintaining the world peace. The veto power assists or helps in maintaining world peace. This power possessed by the permanent members of the Skills Council helps to maintain world peace to a greater extent. Actually, whenever a particular permanent member initiates a move that has a tendency to disturb world peace and security, the other permanent members can easily apply the veto power to nullify such a move in a mat. So whatever a member of the Skills Council decides to take a decision that will not help to secure world peace, then the other permanent members will rise up and vote against that decision that will not encourage world peace, and then that decision will be nullified and then it will be withdrawn. This goes a long way to sustain global peace and security. So whenever decisions are taken that will not help the organization or the world peace, it will be withdrawn, and then it will go a long way to encourage or to secure world peace. Point number four, it helps the permanent members to support the UN on actions that require military personnel. If you note, all the five permanent members are those countries in the world that have military might. So when that power is given to them, it will assist the United Nations when it comes to military personnel. So, what we are saying is that the veto power becomes a guarantee that actions of the United Nations that require the use of the military power or personnel will be supported by the permanent members. For instance, US, China, Russia, France, and the UK, they are having strong military personnel. So when the need comes that the UN needs strong military personnel to assist them to secure world peace, because these countries are having the veto power, they will be motivated, they'll be honored to bring out their strong military personnel to assist the UN to get the peace that they need. This is because the permanent members have been the world's most powerful military forces ever since. In fact, they annually top the list of countries with the highest military expenditures and are the only nations officially recognized as nuclear weapon states under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, that is NPT. So every year, annually, you see that these five countries will top countries having strong military personnel. So if they are given the veto power, they'll be ready to assist the organization with their military personnel. Point five, it helps to identify the permanent members as founding fathers of the United Nations. What this point also means is that the veto power was adopted at the insistence of the Soviet Union and the United Nations after the Second World War. If you could remember, when we were discussing the Second World War in class, I said that after the Second World War, there emerged two super powerful nations in the world. That is the USSR, that is the Russia, and then the United Nations. They were the countries that were very strong after the Second World War. So when the organization was put in place, and then the Security Council was also organized, there was the need to get some powerful nations that will become permanent members of the Security Council so that they can help to prevent another world war. So the permanent members are recognized as founding members of the United Nations. That's why they are given the veto power. They were the great powers that emerged victorious after the Second World War. For this reason, the veto power clause provision that identifies them as founding members of the United Nations was highly instrumental to the formation of the United Nations in 1945. So there was the need for them to be given that veto power because they are recognized as the founding members of the organization. That's why they have the veto power. So these are some of the importance of the veto power given to the five permanent members of the Security Council. Now, let's look at the general powers and functions of the UN Security Council. The general powers and functions of the UN Security Council. Function number one, maintenance of world peace and security. Maintenance of world peace and security. The Council is responsible for determining the existence of trouble in any part of the world, which may pose a threat to peace and for taking actions to check it. So any nation, any country that becomes troublesome, that want to tamper with the world peace and security may be dealt with by the Security Council. So it is the duty, it is the responsibility of the Security Council to make sure that the world gets enough peace and security. Maintaining peace may involve peacekeeping. Listen to it very, very, very carefully. When you want to maintain world peace, then you must get what? Peace. It must involve peacekeeping, peacemaking, peace enforcement, and peace building in any part of the world where international peace is threatened and inter and intra-state conflicts. So wherever there is conflict, be it inter-conflict or intra-conflict, then the Security Council will be there to make sure they maintain the world peace. Point number two, they also have the power of investigation. The Security Council has power to investigate into any dispute or situation which might lead to international friction and recommend measures to address it. So whenever there is anything that is a threat to the world peace and security, then the Security Council must investigate. They have power to investigate that action and then address it or recommend a ways and manner to address that action. For instance, the UN sent fact-finding missions to Iraq, Iran, Palestine, and Cyprus and recommended measures to the Security Council on how this conflict can be addressed. So when there was a war in Iran, Iraq, Cyprus, the UN Security Council sent missions there to investigate why that war and then recommended ways and manner to deal with such wars. So they have the power to investigate any actions in the world. Admission of new members is their next function. Admission of new members into the organization. If you remember, when we were treating the General Assembly, we said that the General Assembly is responsible for admitting new members to the organization upon the recommendation from the Security Council. So it is the duty of the Security Council to recommend any state or any new state who wants to become a member of the United Nations to the General Assembly for them to admit that member into, or that country into, the organization. So the Security Council also recommend countries or states that want to become members of the United Nations to the General Assembly for admission. Point number four, appointment of new Secretary General. It is the duty of the Security Council also to recommend a person to be appointed as General Secretary of the United Nations. You know, the General Secretary is being appointed by the General Assembly and upon the recommendation from the Security Council. So the Security Council recommend a new General Assembly for appointment by the General Assembly of the United Nations Organization. Point number five, they also possess the power of sanction. They possess the power of sanction. This point also means that the Security Council may call on member countries to apply economic, military, and diplomatic sanctions on deviant states. If there's any member state that is going contrary to the UN Charter, then it is the duty of the Security Council to apply sanctions on that particular state or country. So all member countries must adhere to the UN Charter. So if the country goes contrary to the Charter of the United Nations, then the Security Council can apply sanction on that country. Point number six, recommendation of military action against any member state. The Security Council has the obligation under the UN Charter to take military sanctions against aggressive nations. For instance, in 1990, the United Nations Security Council recommended military action against Iraq for its August 2 invasion on Kuwait. When Iraq invaded Kuwait in 1990, they went contrary to the United Nations Charter. So the Security Council applied sanction on Iraq for invading Kuwait in 1990. So they have the power to recommend any military action against any member state in the world. Point seven, they also perform budgetary functions. When they say budgetary functions, it means that they also investigate or approve or recommend to the General Assembly's approval of the annual budget of the organization. The bulk of the organization's budget is financed by the big powers, namely the United States, Britain, France, Russia, and China. It is on record that the U.S. alone financed up 25% of the United Nations budget. So no wonder U.S. is part of the permanent members of the Security Council and the real veto power, because most of the financial resources of the United Nations come from U.S. That's why they are part of the Security Council permanent members. So it is also the duty of the Security Council to recommend where the budget or financial statement must be channeled to. In fact, the Security Council is one of the organs that most of the finance of the United Nations are channeled into. So they recommend when and how they should use the finance of the organization. Last point, they are also in charge of peacekeeping functions of the world. Between June 1948 and July 1998, the organization conducted over 49 peacekeeping operations in the world. So look at the interval. From 1948 to 1998, 49 peacekeeping operations in the world. And these operations were all led by the Security Council. Peacekeeping operations are conducted to restore law and order in countries which are fighting and to help reduce the burden of war on people. the UN will install peace to all countries that are troubled with war. So, and this peacekeeping is being led by the Security Council. So it is the function of the Security Council to embark on peacekeeping in the world. That is the end of today's lesson. Now, take these sample questions and try your hands on them. One, explain any five criticisms leveled against the United Nations Security Council. So you have to explain five criticisms leveled against the UN.